Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
Wednesday, 10 August, I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Anna Kunze from Sunland Private Wealth. More knockout job starter, more inflation coming later this afternoon. Bruce Strong from Impact. Good set of results. Containerboard, cartonboard, all doing well. I want to see the fruit packaging, because of course, you know, worries around the war in Ukraine. How's that been doing? That will give us some insight. Stephen Beattie on shareholder rights. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from CNBC. Elon Musk sells almost 8 million Tesla shares worth almost $7 billion. He says it's just in case he has to buy Twitter. Business Day, Blinken launches new Africa strategy amid geopolitical tug of war. He says the U.S. aims to counter harmful activities by China, Russia, and other actors on the continent. China, of course, the Belt and Way initiative that they've been rolling out the last decade or so. Morning markets, US was red overnight, the S&P off 0.4, Nasdaq down 1.2%. In Asia, we've got Sydney up a third, Tokyo down almost 1%. Commodities actually mostly flat. Gold, 1,809. Brent, 9605. Platinum, 930. Palladium, the big green, $2,224 an ounce. Rand, 1660. Top 40 opening call. Red open, about 420 points down. That's 0.2%. That is 10 cent trades down 1.3%. That takes it back to 2018 levels.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kunze, Sunland Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate the early morning. The job starter, it was Friday, but it's been a long weekend here in South Africa, so we kind of missed it. Non-farm payrolls, over 500,000. Unemployment, 3.5%. I don't know about you, but I got to say, this U.S. job starter keeps astounding me. And yeah, talk of recession with the 3.5% unemployment, I don't know.
Good morning, Simon. Yeah, I'm exactly on your page too. I mean, I sent a note out to internally when that number came out, and I actually said I think these jobs data makes a mockery of this. The U.S. is already in recession calls. Mm. You know, it's certainly, you know, the U.S. economy, number one economy in the world, continue to outperform it. And I think those sort of numbers and wage inflation also up a little bit, and the whole general package was better. And in fact, I think if you strip out a couple of things, it's almost these numbers are almost back, the U.S. economy is almost back to where it was before pre-COVID with the number of jobs that have got back. So really, really impressive. Yeah, I think it is. I mean, the world is slowing, economy is slowing, we all know it is, and inflation's a concern. I heard in your intro there's an inflation print later on today, but I mean, this is going to take a little bit of a sting off things. U.S. economy continuing to almost have full employment.
Yeah, and that U.S. due at, I think, 2:30 our time this afternoon, was 9.1 for June, expected 8.7 for July. If it comes in at 8.7, then I think, I mean, that then kind of plays into it, like maybe this inflation, I don't want to say it's under control, but maybe it's stopped rushing higher at an incredible rate.
Yeah, I'm on the same. Yeah, it's inflation clearly has been a little more sticky than we all thought.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sitting at even 8.7, which is increased for July. I mean, that's still kind of eye-watering, right?
Yeah.
And certainly when you've got a U.S. 10-year note under 3%. So, and U.S. rates are miles out of whack. You know, real rates are actually, you know, comfortably negative. So, I mean, that gap still, the Federal Reserve, central banks around the world are still way behind the curve. But I guess a little bit of glimmer of hope. I think these inflation prices are probably peaked for now. I mean, I think U.S. gasoline prices, which you don't often quote here in South Africa, but they're down about 23 days in a row or something. They've come in quite a lot, and that's a big part of the inflation basket in the States as well.
Yeah, I take a point. And they were, I think in the June number, they were plus 50% year on year. And talking of that, I mean, Brent, we see Brent down in the mid-90s, which is not only nice for us who drive around and consumers, but also just, I mean, it's looking like it's heading weaker, maybe back finally to that sort of comfort zone, which, notwithstanding wars and all the other challenges, should be, what, 60, 70, maybe mid-70s?
Yeah, I agree. I think probably that's probably around about fair value. And I also think, you know, again, that, the oil price part of Brent, I mean, it's about 20% of that CRB commodity index. Mm. And it's a big, big part of commodity. You know, obviously, the whole world needs it to keep on moving, right? So we do need, the world needs an oil that's a little lower. And certainly for us in South Africa, certainly for emerging markets, it's looking a lot better. I mean, the rand comfortably where it is now, you know, nicely back under 17 with a bit of an oil price, which we import inflation, it's looking a lot better for us here in South Africa too.
Yeah, petrol for September, we might be able to drive somewhere. Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth, always appreciate the morning insight. And that's our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter. Your expectation for that inflation print due out later today. As I said, 9.1 for June, 8.7 for July. What do you think it'll be? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
If seagulls were hardy-dars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah? Or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Bruce Strong, CEO of Impact. Results came out Monday morning, 6 months ending June, revenue up 5.2%, headline earnings per share up 31.1%, and an interim dividend of 40 cents against a zero interim dividend of the previous period. Bruce, morning, appreciate the early morning time. The question which after 2.5 years of pandemic you're probably tired of but still matters, how are your supply chains and input costs for these 6 months under review?
Morning, Simon, and thank you for having me. As we've stated in our results announcement, we have been affected by persistent global supply chain constraints, both locally and abroad. You know, it's not only in the supply side of our business, but also our customers, particularly our fruit customers, have faced a number of issues around either containers or port constraints or issues relating to sanctions on Russia, which have meant that some fruit may have to be diverted, or at least they have to wait to see where they sell the fruit. So it's manifested in that manner and also in costs, because we've seen rising costs. Inflation has been a huge challenge in the last period and remains a challenge. And we're also having to put our prices up to reflect those costs to make sure our business is sustainable in these circumstances.
I hadn't actually thought of that. Of course, when I mentioned supply chains, I'm thinking your supply chains, but your customers have supply chains as well. Your inventories, and it bounces around a bit, and I don't know if I'm comparing this period to a year ago or versus December, there's a bit of a difference. But short answer is the inventories are up, and is that in part your response to potential issues on your side, or is that more customers simply not coming to the party because of challenges that they're having?
Well, it's certainly not because of customers, because we've had quite robust demand across most businesses, and we've had quite a challenge in increasing our finished goods inventory. Mm-hmm. So to give you some examples, I mean, at the beginning of the year, it was clear that many polymer producers, you know, plastic polymer, which is a raw material for our plastic business, were suffering and battling, you know, in various parts of the country, of the world. For example, in Europe, some had to take downtime because of the energy costs. And we made a conscious decision to increase our raw material inventory of plastic polymers and carry the cost on the balance sheet, just to make sure that we could supply our customers. So it's been a conscious decision. It's sort of a known that we could respond to. There have been cases where we have decided to increase our inventories, but we just haven't managed to get enough supply. And that has in turn affected our customer service levels, which have suffered, in a way which we are not happy with. So I'd say all in all, the supply chain issues on the back end and the front end of the business have been and remain concerning.
Yeah, QSR, the quick service restaurants, it's an area that you supply into. And of course, I mean, there were periods during the pandemic where that as an industry just vanished, completely disappeared. But you report that actually that's been quite strong demand coming through, which tells us, I mean, consumers are out and having some takeaway burgers and the like, and therefore the QSR industry is ordering up a bit of a storm.
Well, it seems to be the case. I mean, I should just add that in our QSR sector, we also have this home delivery bags and things like that. Mm. They have certainly grown exponentially since the pandemic. You know, a lot of people are ordering from, you know, from home and having delivered to home. So that's been a robust growth sector for us. And then we've seen, and I, you know, I don't speak firsthand from the QSR sector in terms of the front end, but we have noticed that since the load shedding began, we've seen a greater uptick in demand, which maybe suggests that people are eating at home and rather or buying takeouts rather than cooking during the load shedding period, which has been good for the business. And then I should also just add that we have invested extensively across our businesses. And we are seeing a number of those benefits come through, especially in these times. And we continue to invest because while our business is a South African business, a number of the sectors we service are not directly coupled to consumer spending growth in South Africa. And we are seeing opportunities to grow our business in spite of the or despite the challenges in South African consumer spending patterns.
That's a great point, and you mentioned it in your results where you know a lot of what we've spoken here is well certainly QSR is consumer facing, but you're actually saying there's sectors that you can target, and one of those is fruit exports, recycling, waste management, sectors that are non-consumer dependent, because certainly the conversation we've been having the last minute or three, I get insight to the consumer, but you also want to sort of branch away from that and become, you know, less reliant on a robust consumer, because they're going to be tough times for shoppers out there.
No, indeed. So fruit exports are underpinned by plantings that are already in, which are really going to be exponential in growth, and we will benefit from that. Convenient shopping, while it is consumer spending dependent, it is a trend which is moving away from people going to shops and buying from home. So you only dollar growth in actual consumer spending, see the benefits of packaging for consumer convenience shopping. And then on the waste management and recycling side, it's probably not obvious from our announcement.
Yeah.
But the key is we make, for example, wheelie bins, like the one that stands outside your house, you know, the biggest bin. And up to 40%, maybe a big proportion of South African households are not yet serviced by waste management or by refuse collection. And so that's another sector that just from a service delivery point of view should see quite good growth in the future as government needs to service a number of households that are not yet serviced.
Yeah.
So there are many areas in South Africa where we can invest and expect to see robust growth despite the current economic circumstances we find ourselves in.
Yeah, and I remember a previous conversation with you around those wheelie bins where they can almost become smarter because in many cases the councils simply have no idea how many wheelie bins they are or aren't picking up every week. Bruce Strong, CEO of Impact, appreciate the early morning insights.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in Stanlib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now. On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Stephen Beattie. Stephen Beattie Tuition is where you find him. Stephen, appreciate the early morning. Chatting shareholder rights. Fair to say, I mean, there's a bunch of rights, and we'll go through them over the course. But my sense is that the key right is that perpetual share in profits. In other words, you buy the share, and it is yours until either it gets taken over, delisted. But even in death, you retain that right, and you can send it to your heirs. That is an important statement for shareholders.
Good morning, Simon. Thanks for having me back on. Yes, the right to receive a dividend is a very important right. Important to realize that the company needs to ensure that both the solvency and liquidity of the business is in place before they pay out that dividend. And if they don't and they pay it out in error, without doing the solvency and liquidity test, that dividend can in fact be revoked. And of course, a shareholder is only entitled to that dividend once it has been declared by the board of directors.
And that's the key thing. You get those dividends. The other key point, perhaps, is around annual general meetings. And, of course, I think a lot of particularly smaller shareholders don't really bother with that annual general meeting, the AGM. But that is an important right where you can go, you can ask questions of the board. And, of course, you get to vote on remuneration, notwithstanding that's a non-binding vote. You get to vote on board of directors and audit committees and the like. And those are hugely important because ultimately that's how the company's been run on your behalf as a shareholder.
Oh, absolutely. And it always amazes me, Simon, how few shareholders actually exercise this right. Because for me, it's my one opportunity to ask questions of management and sometimes tough questions. So it's an opportunity for me as a shareholder to get to know the business and to get to know the directors better. And as you said, to be able to vote on important matters in the business.
Those AGM votes are typically a 50% plus one. There are special votes where there is a higher bar, and I'm thinking here particularly when we talk around takeovers, delistings and the like, where as I understand that bar is typically 75% or even higher of shareholders who need to vote in favor.
That's right. So a special resolution would require at least 75% of the votes.
Mm-hmm.
Important to note that all the rights that a shareholder has are stated in the Companies Act of 2008 as amended, mm-hmm. as well as in the company's memorandum of incorporation. So any voting, special voting rights and classes of shares, etc., would be stated in the company's memorandum of incorporation.
I had forgotten about special shares. And I encourage listeners, that Companies Act of 2008, as Stephen said there, it's actually an easy read. It's not legalese, and it's actually it's well worth going and spending a half hour or so and reading the Act. It's an elegant document in my mind. What else are our shareholder rights? I mean, we've touched on, you know, rights to the dividends, the share of the profits. We've touched on rights of voting at AGM, be it traditional, maybe special resolutions. Are there other rights that shareholders hold that we haven't touched?
Oh, yes, there's several. For example, a shareholder has the right to access to information.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's very important because information, when used correctly, is powerful. So the information I'm talking about, for example, are the minutes of a meeting of the AGM, because mm-hmm. I use the minute to keep management honest and to ensure mm-hmm. that they do what they said they would do in the previous meeting. Also, as a shareholder, you have access to the securities register as well as the records of companies' directors as mm-hmm. well as the memorandum of incorporation. So that right of access to information is also a very important right, in my opinion.
That's a great point. I mean, I know we get the SENS announcements and the like, and that's the JSE process more than anything else. And it is part of that where there's the Companies Act, which controls companies. And then, of course, there's a JSE that sits on top as part of that listing environment. Stephen Beattie from Stephen Beattie Tuition, appreciate the early morning insights. That's it for today. Our poll from Friday, we didn't do one Monday because the show was recorded. We've been chatting with Jacques Conradi from Peregrine Capital. He's the CEO there. We're talking about finding winners from corporate actions, Thungela Resources as an example. No one liked that stock when it listed. 20 Rand a share it fell down to. Now it's what, around 300 Rand, a little off that. And you're probably going to get a dividend, I don't know, 100 bucks for the full financial year. Question we asked, did you catch that massive run in Thungela? 15 bagger in little over a year. Two-thirds of you totally missed it. And fair shot. It wasn't perhaps as obvious, although that was what Jacques Conradi was saying, is that sometimes it's the unobvious you need to look for. Evenly split between the rest who bought but sold too early, and I put my hand into that bucket, and the rest of you who are still loving it, and massive kudos to you. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Nabokhle, Nicole, Eleanor, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're talking with Bondile Shalobo, grains finally leaving Ukraine.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.